Psalms chapter number 73, and we'll try not to be too long this morning. Psalms chapter 73, and I'm going to read down through several verses and just give you a thought the Lord laid on our heart for this morning, and then we'll fellowship and enjoy eating some hot dogs and all the fixings that go with hot dogs. All right, amen. I appreciate the amen out of that. It's a little tight in here this morning. I don't know what's going on, but I just tried to lift the Lord up. Amen. He's worthy, and whatever it is, I don't know if I did it to you or not, but God didn't do it to you. Amen. And whatever problems you have, they'll still be there when you leave. Don't worry about it. Might as well not think about them in here. They'll still be there. All right, Psalm 73 and verse number 1. Pay attention to the words that are written here. This is a psalm of Asaph. He was one of the singers. He was one of the singers in David's mighty choir. And he wrote this one. David didn't write all the psalms. There's some other men that wrote. And this is one that Asaph wrote. He said, "Truly God is good." That's a good way to start off the chapter. That's how we try to start off the service. Truly, God is good to Israel. And just a quick note here. I know there's a lot bad going on in Israel, but that's still God's chosen people. And God's going to take care of them. And they're still going to be around. They're not going to be wiped off the map. Amen. We know that. And God will take care of them. And even to such as are of a clean heart. God wants to be good to you this morning. Amen. But he needs your clean heart. Amen. If you're a child of God and you're saved and there's something you know that's not right with God, just get right with Him, man, so He can bless you. Verse number 2, look at what Asaph begins to say. And this is what we're going to look at for a few minutes this morning. "But as for me," he already said God was good to Israel. He already said that God was good to those of a clean heart. "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." Why, Asaph? Why did your feet almost go, and why did your steps almost slip? Verse number 3, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. They are plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression." Man, we've heard that a lot in the news here lately. "They speak loftily. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongues walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end." One day, 6 blind men decided to go to the zoo. They hired a guide to tell them about all the exotic animals that they couldn't see. When they came to the elephants, the zookeeper wanted them to have more than a verbal description. So he allowed them each to feel the elephant. Since the elephant was large and since the zookeeper had limited time, he let each man touch one part of the giant mammal. The first blind man reached out and his hand grabbed the elephant's tail. Aha, he exclaimed. The elephant is like a big rope. The next man felt a massive elephant leg. He looked strange. No rope was that big. No, the elephant is like a large log or tree. He was sure of this. The third blind man walked forward and ran straight into the elephant's side, whereupon he pronounced that the elephant is really a big wall. Next, another of the blind men reached out and took of one of the elephant's ears. It must have tickled because the elephant wiggled the ear, causing the fourth man to exclaim, "Oh, I see, the elephant is like a big fan." The fifth blind man decided that the first four were slightly daft, and they couldn't be describing the same creature. So he carefully walked up and put out his hand. The elephant raised his trunk to the man, who felt it and grinned in wonder. "My friends, it is obvious the elephant is like a huge snake." The final man, totally confused, walked forward and reached out, hoping to find the truth, and encountered a tusk. He paused and brightened. "I understand. The true nature of the elephant is this. He is a sword." The zookeeper and guide smiled at one another, knowing that none had seen the big elephant picture. You say, what are you getting at, Brother Andrew? I'm saying that we're living in a day today, thanks to social media, you see everybody's view of what's going on right now. I mean, thankfully, not thankfully, but we see everybody's opinion about what's going on right now. I mean, if you want to know how people feel about what's going on in Israel or in Washington, man, you can look just real close, pull up your phone, and with just, you don't even have to have social media. You can pull up a news network and look at the comments, and you'll find people that have an opinion about what's going on in this world right now. You don't have to look very far. Just like these five blind men that came up to the elephant, they each had a different perspective of what was going on and what this animal was. And you got Christians today that know just enough Bible to be dangerous, and they get on there and they're trying to tell everybody what they think is going on. And you have churches today, and you've got Christians today that are openly being accepted of all the wickedness that's going on in this world. The Southern Baptist Convention right now is torn to pieces over accepting sodomites into the church and women pastors, and over Black Lives Matters, and over critical race theory and all those things. And everybody's got their opinion about what's going on. And everybody's got their own view. And everybody's got their own sight of how they're looking at things. There's people today that are saved. They're saved just like you're saved, just like I'm saved. If you've been born again and washed in the blood, amen. If you've been so-called saved any other way, you're not saved. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you try to get in any other way, you're lost. Well, there's people that say they're saved, and they're saved as you and I, but they all have different opinions about what's going on right now. They all have a different view of what's going on. That church isn't tolerant enough. This church is too tolerant. Everybody's got their opinion. And Asaph finds himself in a position right here in Psalms chapter 73, where he is not blind physically, but he's developed some blurred vision. He's developed blurred vision spiritually. We find other examples in Scripture of people and men that had vision problems. You remember the story of Eli? The Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that Eli had begun, 1 Samuel 3 verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. I'm telling you, it's still precious today. It's more precious today than, man, it's ever been to me. It's so precious. And there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in this place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. You know, there's people today that are in the same position of Eli. The Word of God was precious. And man, if you don't spend time in this book, you're going to lose your vision. You're going to lose your vision. Eli didn't see the wickedness that was going on in his own family. He didn't see the spiritual wickedness in his family. But I tell you what, there's a lot of Elis today that say they're saved, and they're wanting to point out what's wrong with everybody else, and they don't even see what's wrong in their own home. You don't believe me? Get on social media. They'll tell you in a hurry what they think about what you're doing. Eli got on to Hannah and said, "Man, you look like you've been drinking." A little bit later, he just didn't even pay attention to the wickedness that was going on with his boys. I'm getting somewhere with some of this. I'm trying to say that everybody's got their opinion about what's going on right now. Everybody's got their vision, their view of what's going on. Y'all remember the story of Peter walking on the water when he took his eyes off of Jesus and put them on his surroundings. The Bible said he began to sink. He started looking at the wrong thing. He started taking his eyes off of Christ and off of who can help him and started putting them on the circumstance of what was going on. He failed to trust God and put his eyes on exactly the problem that he was in right at that moment. He began to sink. And y'all know the story. Jesus came and picked him up. You know, there's a lot of times that we use situations in our life to draw attention to ourselves. I mean, we'll be going through something, and it's a difficult time, but instead of trying to point to Christ and magnify Him, we draw the attention to us. Yeah. Could you imagine Peter that day sinking down in the water, and Jesus goes to rescue him, and Peter says, "No, hold on. I want to see who's watching me. I want to see who's paying attention to me. Wait a second, Jesus, don't help me yet. The disciples are all watching me. Everybody's paying attention to me right now." Amen. Amen. Could you imagine him doing that? Some of y'all do that. Sometimes we'll say, "Hey, preacher needs you to pray." And all it is look at me. Amen. It's not that you want your prayer answered. You want everybody to know what's going on. Amen. What if Peter did that? "Lord, please don't rescue me." It's real quiet in here. But I'm telling you, sometimes we cross that line of needing God to help us to, "I hope everybody's seeing what I'm doing. I just want everybody to know what's going on with my life." You know what? There's some people that they ask prayer requests for every tiny thing in their life, and they'll never know if God will answer their prayer. If every time something comes up in my life, I'm calling somebody and saying, "Will you pray?" I'll never know if God answered my prayer.
Amen.
Amen. It's all about how you look at it. And there's people today, it's all about them. You don't believe me? Just ask them. They'll tell you. It's all about them. And Asaph, he begins in chapter 73 to talk about God being good to Israel and God is good to those with a clean heart. And then he makes a confession that a lot of Christians today, I believe not just in this building but all over, need to make this morning, that if we don't watch it, we're going to slip. If we don't watch it as White Oak Independent Baptist Church and as our family, as the McAfee family, we could slip in a second if we're looking at the wrong thing. Looking from the wrong perspective. And Asaph begins, he admits, "I almost messed up," but thank God he didn't completely mess up. Amen. But he's about to describe some things that he saw when he was backslid. Do you understand this morning that if you're not faithful to church, you're backslid? The Bible said, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of such is." And we ought to do it even more so as we see the day approaching, and it's coming. If you're not faithful to church every time the doors are open, the best of your ability, you're backslid. Amen. Amen? But you can be backslid coming to church every time the doors are open. If you're not in your Bible and you're not paying attention to your preaching or you're not doing nothing with it, you're backslid. Amen. Thank you for coming today. Backslid. There's the condition of a lot of churches today. They come and there's a formality and they go through the motions. We saw some of that just the last Sunday. Hey, man, you go through all the motions and I'm telling you, you go through all those things and it's just a show. It's just a production. It's just a machine. Without God, it's nothing. It's a bunch of hot air. And there's people's homes are that way. Their families are that way. It's just a bunch of hot air. And you know what? When you get in a position of being backslidden, you start seeing things differently. You know what you start doing? You start saying, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, the preacher gets up and preaches, this is what God desires of His children. And this is how God desires that they behave themselves and how they ought to conduct themselves. And they ought not to listen to the world's music and wear the world's clothing and do these things. And they'll sit there and they'll start to say, I just don't see it that way. We're about to go through what Asaph saw. And I can't tell you how many people have walked out of the doors of this church. And the last thing they said to me, Brother Jeff, the last thing they said, they shook my hand. They said, Brother Andrew, we love you, but we just don't see it that way. I said, see it what way? One of them in particular, I got up and preached that if you're not married, the Bible said that it's not right for a man to touch a woman. That's just what the Bible says. I mean, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 or verse 2, somewhere in there. It says it's not right for a man to touch a woman, talking about somebody that's not married. All right? And so I mentioned that in a message and I moved on. After church, he came to me. He said, Brother Andrew, I don't see it that way. I said, don't see what? That I can't touch my girlfriend and have relationships with her before I get married. He said, I don't see it that way. I was like, take your Bible and open it. And we went to it and I said, I read the verse, and I didn't say anything. He goes, yeah, I don't see it that way. Hey, man. You say, what are you getting at? Asaph got this way. If you really pay attention to what he's saying, he got this way. He started seeing things different. There's churches, Brother Stephen, that pastors that got up in the pulpit that once stood on the King James Bible and once preached the Word of God, and they stood flat-footed and preached against sin, and then all of a sudden, maybe one of their children went sideways, or maybe their wife decided that she wanted to, you know, get tattoos and get earrings all over the face, look like a tackle box fell on her going through Bass Pro Shop. And then all of a sudden, he's like, well, I just don't see it the same way I used to. And the next thing they know, they get up and they drop Baptists off the sign. They get rid of the pulpit and get some kind of little skinny glass pulpit up there. And just everything just changes. All of a sudden, because I just don't see it that way. This is dangerous ground. And you know what it's leading to? Apostasy. It's the first step to apostasy. And those people that once stood, some of them still use a King James Bible, but they don't stand on it and they don't believe it like they used to, because you can't believe it like you used to if you're going to live a different way. And so Asaph began to see things a little differently. He finds him placed in a dangerous place, a place that a lot of Christians find themselves today. And I know I can preach this with conviction because I've seen it happen time and time again. Not just the churches, but people sitting in the pews. They get to a point where they say, I just don't see it that way. And 9 times out of 10 or 10 times out of 10, there's either some sin in their life or some sin in their family's life, and they have to change the way they view the thing. Amen? Sometimes it's pride. Sometimes it's arrogance. That those are still sins as well. There's a tremendous push in our country right now for Bible-believing churches to drop convictions, to drop standards. And there's a group making a huge push for that, trying to rescue people out of old-time Bible-believing churches. They're trying to rescue them out of it like they're in some kind of trouble. Man, I got saved in a church like this, and I got called to preach in a church like this, and my family, I got married and met my wife in a church like this, and man, my kids have been saved. Hey, so far it's been pretty good. Yeah. I don't need to be rescued from anything. Yeah. except for them idiots. There's a big push to go contemporary, ecumenical. I mean, it was just a few years ago, an independent Baptist missionary called me and said, "Brother Andrew, we want you to come, and we want to tell our supporting churches, thank you for supporting us." I said, "Well, that sounds good." He goes, "There'll be free fried chicken." I said, "I'll be there." And so I show up. When I get there, I started looking around the room. There was non-denominational pastors, Southern Baptist pastors. Now, I know there's still some good in the Southern Baptist Church, but every one of them that were in there don't use the King James Bible. They use other Bible versions. And if they do that, you're a traitor. I don't care who it offends. You're a traitor. And so all of a sudden, we're sitting in this big room, and he gets up, and the first thing he says is, "I know we've got different denominations in here, but I think we should just all get along." You say, "What'd you do?" I got up and left and wrote him a letter saying I'm dropping his support. And he called me and said, "Brother Andrew, don't you realize there's going to be some Southern Baptists in heaven?" I said, "Praise the Lord." You realize there's going to be people in heaven that are not even Baptist?" I said, "Praise the Lord. Amen." But I'm not fellowshipping with them if they go against my Bible. Amen. I know it's a little quiet in here. But you know what he was saying? Just don't see it the same way we used to. We should all just get along. I'm not saying you ought to be hateful. We ought to love the sinner. Man, we ought to love people and try to win them to God. But we're not going to compromise what God's asked us to do that. Notice a few things. Let me go through here quickly and then we'll eat hot dogs. No fried chicken, I don't think. They're hot dogs. But they do contain chicken of some sort. I cannot verify what part of the chicken and what else might be in there. Whenever the ingredients say chicken, pork, beef, other, you just really pray over it and start eating. Amen? But notice some things here. Asaph writes this song that encompasses the struggle of somebody that is either not saved, but they think they know something about the Bible. There's people like that. They think they know a lot about the Bible, but they don't know the God. I mean, the Lord's not living in them. They have a form of godliness, but man, they're not even saved. But they think they are. The devil's deceived them into thinking they're good enough. But this passage here encompasses the struggle of someone who's not saved, who's not in their Bible, or does not faithfully attend church, or maybe they do, but they're backslid. It shows the view of some of those people. And it shows the view of some people that we've had sitting in our church that have walked out the doors. And I'm telling you, it's sad. Follow me very quickly. I'll go through here fast. Notice the view of this person that's out of church or backslidden. Number one, they see the prosperity of the sinner. Look there in verse number 3. Are y'all still with me? "For I was envious at the foolish." My Bible tells me that the fool hath said in his heart, "There is no God." But Asaph have gotten himself in a position where he was envious at the foolish. "When I saw the prosperity of the wicked," he viewed the wicked folks and he, that they prospered and that it seemed like they were doing well and having a good time while it looked like the children of God were suffering. And you know what, church? I've seen people, especially if you get on that social media and you start looking at the world, it looks like they're having a great time. It looks like they're having a ball. It looks like they're having fun. And we've lost some young people out of church that said, "Hey, it looks like they're having a great time, and I'm not having a good time." Man. This idea of the church having to keep up with the world and keep up with the fashions and the fads and the excitement of what's going on. All that comes from right here. Asaph had the same problem. Just like many people in here, if you're honest with yourself this morning, you would say, "I have thought these things." Is there anybody in here other than the little ones that don't know any better, and thank God for it, who can say, I never thought that before. I never looked out there and saw that the sinners were living wicked and they were having a fun lifestyle. And man, it looked like they were having a great time. And I never thought for one second, I wish I could have fun like that. Asaph began to think that. the young people look out and they see, and they see the commercials and they see the people that are drinking and having a good time. They're drinking a Budweiser or Bud Dumber. I've never seen it make anybody wiser. And they see the good time. They see the man, and he's got the big truck, and he's drinking, and he's having a good time. He's living the high life, and he's having a great time. And man, it just looks like everything's going good. He's got the big car. He's got the fast car. He's got the beautiful women. He's got everything going for him. That's what the devil wants to tell you. But what they don't show you is the mama that's sitting at home crying, and she's got little babies sitting there she can't feed because that sorry sucker drank all of his paycheck away. They don't see him waking up in the morning, vomiting all over the place and just filth and living in misery and pain and heartache because of what that stuff does. Wine is a mocker. It will make you look like a fool. But Asaph said, man, it looked like, I see the prosperity of the sinner. Brother Steve, it looks like they're doing great. Man, they're on the lake every weekend just having a great time. And we got to go to church again and eat hot dogs and listen to Brother Andrew. They're always going on vacation. Man, it looks like they're just having the grand old time. It looks like everything's going so good. They got the house and they got the money and that man I see all this stuff and it looks like they're having a great, grand old time. And Asaph began to look at those things. He began to see the prosperity of the sinner. And the Bible said he became jealous. Not only that, but verse number 4, he saw what he believed to be the peace of the sinner. He watched their wicked ...ness. He watched their lives in sin. He watched them do these things and look like they had no problems. According to Asaph, when he saw them, they sinned, they lived wickedly, and they had no problems. Everything was just going great. Look at me there in verse number 4. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. He said even when these sinners are dying, they're going out with a blaze of glory. Like there's no problems at all. Look at verse number 5. He also noticed the pleasure of the sinner. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Man, the wicked just, they're living a good life. They're prospering. God's blessing them. They're having a good time. They're enjoying life. Everything seems to be going good. He was amazed that the wicked could live such sinful lives and do so without any trouble. The good times just seemed to roll on and on and on and on. And there's folks that sit in churches and they see that. What's wrong with all this? What's wrong with enjoying the music? Man, they're having a great time listening to that music. What's wrong with it? It looks fun. What's wrong with the excitement of listening to the songs and listening to the watching the movies? And what's wrong with doing all these things? Everybody else is just enjoying it, and it looks like they're having a great life. He sees all these things. He sees the pleasure of the sinner. He also notices their pride. The Bible says there in verse number 6, therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Verse 8, they are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. He notices their pride because they live lives the way they do. There appears to be no guilt and no repentance and no sorrow. They're filled with pride before God. A matter of fact, in verse number 11, they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? You know what's sad? There's people that are saved. They're born again, child of God. And they know what God says about some of these things and they don't care. It is pride and it's arrogance. Pretty much to tell God, Lord, I don't care. I don't care. You know what the wicked's doing right now? Brother Nick, right now this morning, they could care less what I'm preaching in here. They could care less what's in that book. And some of them know it. But their pride, they're so arrogant. They're so defiant against God. They say, I don't care. Does God even know what I'm doing? Does he even pay attention? I'm just going to keep living my life the way I want to live it. I'm going to do it my way. And Asaph saw all these things. And he watched the wicked. He watched the progression of the sinner. Verse number 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. It just seems like, man, it just seems like they're prospering and they're just continually progressing. You know, that's one thing that the world likes to push is progress. And Asaph viewed all these people and it looked like they had a good life. It looked like they were enjoying their life. It looked like they had riches. He saw all this progression. Verse number 15, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Oh, don't say anything about the fun they're having, or you're going to offend this next generation. Don't say anything about the wickedness. Don't say anything about the vileness of it. Asaph saw these things, and the Bible said that he felt like quitting. He felt like giving up. Look at verse number 16. There's so much more in here, but I don't want to lose you, and I'm losing some of you. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. You know what Asaph almost did? He almost did what a lot of Christians do. They quit, and they give in. They just go back to drinking. They just go back to smoking. They just go back to dope. They just go back to the music. They just go back to the world. They just go back to all those things. Because why should I even go through this when they're having such a great time? Why should I be miserable? But understand this, church. Asaph was writing this from a backslidden view. He was like the blind man on the elephant, just trying to make the best he could out of his Christian life. There's a lot of God's children today that there's things in their life they know is not right. You're not in the Bible like you're supposed to. You're not faithful to church. And what you're doing in your Christian life, you're going through like that blind man just trying to figure things out. And then you begin to see things differently. The problem with this line of thinking that Asaph was dealing with was it was a humanistic view. All these things that he saw was a humanistic view of things. When we look at life and its problems from a human perspective, we'll always focus on what pleases me. Every time. Everything will always come down to how does it affect me? What problems will I face? How will this outcome affect me? When will I get relief? Who cares about what I'm facing? All this thinking leads to that. Natural thinking always results in disaster because it allows you to stand in the wrong place and see the wrong angle. He was backslid. He was out of church. He saw the wrong thing. But all this view that he had of the world and the prosperity and the pleasure and the pride and the false peace of the sinner, all of it was corrected when he got to church. Look with me there. Y'all still with me? I'm almost finished. Y'all stay with me. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in a slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream with one, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked. That's another word for conviction. I was pricked in my reins. And look what he said. And this is something I believe we all should say. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. He said, Lord, I got in your church. I realized I'd messed up. I realized they're in. And you know what he started to say? I realize how good I really have it. I realize how God's blessed. And I realized how God saved my family. And I realized all the things that looked like I was missing out on. I wasn't really missing out on anything. They sing that song, I Have Missed Out. Man, I'm telling you, I've missed out on the misery and the heartache and the woe. Hey, amen. When I got up this morning, I knew exactly where I was last night. I've missed out on having a wife cussing me out and walking out the door. I've never had that before. I've missed out on all kind of heartache. And thank God I have. But people start sitting in church and they just start getting backslid on God and backslid, not faithful to church and not in their Bible. And they start getting more involved with the world. And next thing you know, they start seeing things a little differently. You want to tell me God's not been good to you? Asaph realized what we all should realize this morning, that prosperity was a false prosperity. It was a false prosperity. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 through 19, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Proverbs 1, 29 through 32 said, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You know what he realized? Their so-called prosperity was just a false front. They could have all the money they want in the world. They could have all the riches. But without Christ, they have nothing. And their end is a lake of fire. Their prosperity was absolutely nothing. Their peace was false. Their peace was false. I'm telling you right now, church, they look like they're happy. They look like there's joy on their face. And they put on an act for that camera. And they put on a show for you in front of that camera and on social media. But they're crying themselves to sleep at night because they have no hope. They have no peace. They have no joy. They've got to go back to a needle. They've got to go back to a bottle. They've got to go back to something to find hope, to find peace. It looks like they're having fun. And it looks like there's a smile on their face. But they're empty inside. They're completely empty. It's a false peace. They might, that's why I tell you, church, all the time, when you go into a supermarket or you go to a gas station or you go to a restaurant and you see somebody and they have a bad attitude, you need to have some compassion on them because they might not know Christ. And if they don't know Christ, they're altogether miserable. Amen. You don't know what people's going through. Some of y'all have no clue what people in this room's going through. You see looking nice and you see a smile and you have no clue what's going on in their heart. And I'm telling you, the wicked, the sinner, those that hate God, those that want nothing to do with church, those that are backslid and have turned their back on God, they do not have peace. God is peace. That book brings peace. And they don't have those. You don't have peace. It's a false peace. Oh, but man, it looks like they're having so much fun. I'm telling you, it only lasts a season. But their end is destruction. He saw that they had a false prosperity. When he got right with God and got in church, realized there was a false prosperity and there was a false peace. He realized there was a false pleasure. All the things that they were having fun with, all that's just a false pleasure. It's just a front. It just brings pain and misery. Oh, but they're having so much fun in all those country songs. Man, they're having a blast. It just seems like they're having, but it's all a false hope. You say, well, man, what's wrong with some of that music? Well, I told you this several weeks ago. Music was designed for one purpose, and that was to worship God. So if it doesn't do anything if it doesn't worship Him and magnify Him, then it's no bueno. Oh, but Brother Andrew, I enjoy it. It doesn't matter. Music was created to please and worship Him. Whether you like it or not, that's what it was for. But there's parents that allow their kids to listen to some stuff. And all these country songs about these people loving each other and wanting to get to know each other in a sinful way. And you might say, well, it's talking about a husband and wife. No, it's not. Most of the time it's an affair. Most of the time it's about people that are not married. And the kids are sitting in the back seat. And you know what the devil's telling them? Man, wouldn't you like to get a big truck so you could have a girlfriend? That's what some boys think. Where'd they learn it from? A country song. If I just get a big jacked up four-wheel drive truck, I can get me a girlfriend. And you know what the girls are back there thinking? I wish some boy would put his hands all over me like that. And the parents are foolishly just singing all the songs. And the devil's just working on the hearts of the children. I'm telling you, it's a false pleasure. Get you a big truck. Get you a big diesel truck. You'll be working on it all the time. Are y'all all right this morning? Can I tell you one thing about these people, though, that was true? Their pride. The pride wasn't false. That was very real. The Bible said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. If you're not saved in here this morning, your pride could just very well send you straight to hell. And if you're saved in here this morning and God dealt with your heart, your pride could keep you from getting right with God. Amen. Is it worth losing your home and your marriage and your family over that? It's not. Amen. Amen. Miss Sarah, you come to the piano if you would, please. Let's all stand. Church, I gave you an example of false prosperity. I want to read one passage to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Bowen, you come and get one of the mics. Brother Roman, he's going to grab one of these. Psalms chapter number 1. I'm going to read it to you. You just stand there with your head bowed, your eyes closed for just a second. We saw the false prosperity, the things that Asaph saw with the wrong view. He was looking on the outside of the church instead of looking from the inside. The Bible said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You want to prosper this morning as a Christian? Don't look at what the world's doing. Get faithful to church and get in your Bible. And the Bible said that whatsoever you do will prosper. You want prosperity this morning? Stop looking outside of the church. Stop looking outside of the Bible. Stop looking at what the world's doing and start getting involved in what God's doing, and He will prosper your way. Child of God, invitations for you this morning. If you're saved, would you come this morning if God spoke to your heart? I know this was hard preaching, a hard message this morning, but I'm telling you, sometimes we get our eyes on the wrong things. Maybe there's somebody here today said, Brother Andrew, I've never been saved. I want to tell you today, the Bible said in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You'll never have joy, you'll never have peace, you'll never have prosperity until you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let Him take your sin, let Him take your place. If there's anybody like that this morning, we can take a Bible and show you how to be saved.